everyone for coming. It's been a little while since we met. We'll go ahead and call our September 7th Environmental Advisory Committee meeting to order. Has everyone had a chance to look at the agendas? Agenda for today's meeting. Any discussion about that, or anyone have any want to make a motion to approve that agenda, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so first order of business for us is welcoming new members, which conveniently sat on one side of the table, so that makes it easier.
Yeah, two against five.
Okay. That's right. So welcome aboard. Thank you for being here. Do y'all have any questions for us as new members?
I don't. I'll probably have some as we go along.
That's fine. We have a any question is fair policy. I mean, there's no dumb questions, no bad questions. We have Larry Rogers, who was here with us. We've got our city associate as well with us. Oftentimes you may see us working with the Environmental Sustainability Board. Sorry, Jerry Conley is our.
That's okay.
Sorry.
GE.
Yeah. We don't. Since there's different jurisdictions, we can't really play in the same space. But sometimes we coordinate, cooperate.
Yeah.
Whatever word you want to use for that. Sometimes there's things that Jerry's working on that adds to what we're working on. There's sometimes parallels that work out well. So welcome aboard. We've got the handout that I came around with, Backyard Compost Workshops. This is something that Rachel's been working on. So Rachel's going to talk a little bit about that.
Does this work? Is it on?
No. We can hear you.
Oh, I wonder if it's recording.
I don't know. We'll try it. So there's a couple of copies of this flyer here. You're welcome to take one. I also have an electronic version that I sent you. You're welcome to post it wherever you'd like. So the county, we've talked a lot about our food waste and compost projects, I guess, at the county level and the city. We talked about that when we had our big city and county joint meetings back in November. And so I think the last update I probably gave you from my side of things at the county is that we've been talking with Atlas Organics about trying to figure out a long-term food waste collection or composting plan. And the last place we left that off with Atlas, who's in upstate South Carolina, was that we didn't have enough green waste to mix in at our transfer station site to make a viable processing site with Atlas. So what we're going to do right now is to do a 10-month partnership with Atlas, where they are going to be emptying two 64-gallon cans at the convenience center for us every week. And we'll be doing that now through the end of the fiscal year, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to bring your food waste out there if you'd like. And we're just trying to get the word out to the community and let people know that this is another waste diversion option that you can do at home. Or if you're already a convenience center user, it's going to be very easy to just bring it to us there. So the best way to do that is to bring it to the convenience center drop-off area in a paper bag that's uncoated. A really good storage option is to put that food waste in a container or a paper bag in your freezer at home. It minimizes odors and bugs and things like that. And those two 64-gallon cans are going to be right near the bag-for-bag drop-off area just before the glass, one of the glass bins at the convenience center. That's going to be starting on September 14th, which is a week from today. And I'll be out there on that day with flyers and information. There'll be a banner behind the cans. You can't miss the area. There was a really fantastic write-up that Derek from the Times News did last Thursday in the paper about the program. So we're pretty excited about that. If you have any questions or suggestions, please let me know. And then beyond that food waste collection part, Asheville Green Works and you guys and the city and Hendersonville Community Co-op and the Hendersonville Cooperative or Henderson County Cooperative Extension, two co-ops in the same sentence, are all sponsoring three backyard composting workshops. And so those are going to be taking place September 23rd, October 14th, and October 17th. And there's still seats available in each class. There's a 30-person limit in each class. And then if you'd like to purchase a DIY kit at each class, you can do that. If these go really well and we have a lot of interest, we'll do three more in the spring with Asheville Green Works. So please get the word out there, and hopefully it'll continue to open this conversation about diverting food waste out of the trash stream. There's a lot of momentum for wasted food and food waste right now happening all across the U.S. There's a whole lot of interest happening in North Carolina and South Carolina. So we're really hopeful that our pilot project with Atlas is going to be a good one. We did just work with them over Apple Festival weekend, and I will know the tonnage from that very soon. Jerry was out there helping pull tin foil out of the compost bin. So we're glad that Atlas is down in the upstate and that they have a pretty big operation down there. So we're hopeful that this will kind of start a whole new trend of what we're able to do here. And there is a much bigger conversation about wasted food, which is not the same as food going in the garbage stream, but wasted food is more so along the lines of what doesn't hit the table but is meant to be consumed. So that could be back-of-house restaurant food. It could be cafeteria, restaurant, leftover food, cold food off of farms that's maybe considered like ugly fruits or something that can't be sold, to go to actually feeding hungry people versus going to the landfill or anything like that. So just keep your eyes and ears open, and if you have any resources you'd like to share with us at the county so we can continue to make this a bigger piece of the puzzle, please, I welcome that. So does anybody have any questions? Or
yeah, Rachel.
Yes.
What's in a compost kit?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know there's chicken wire. Mm-hmm. Jerry, do you know
more? Yeah, there's chicken wire, and it's large enough to make a bin round like this and for steaks and ties.
Okay.
It's very simple.
So I was thinking maybe talking to my neighbors, but if we have live in an area that has black bears, is this an attractive nuisance for the bears?
Probably. I'm not sure, but yeah. We will get Christine from Asheville Green Works to address how to deal with vermin. Yeah, and that's one reason that a lot of people don't do backyard composting in the mountains is because there's a lot of issues with rodents and bears and things. But it also just kind of depends on where you live. I mean, I have compost pile, and I have just deer and birds that mess with it. So it depends on where you are, but we'll address that at the workshop. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. All right, so the next thing on our agenda, new business, is our discussion topics. In years past, we've done creative methods to derive what our discussion topic is going to be. I think we've had mixed success with that. So basically, the email that Rachel sent out earlier this week asked all of us to be thinking about topics that you think we should consider as a committee and look at for the benefit of the community. So if anyone has any items that are just, I know Liz was saying kudzu as she walked in, if there's anything like that, that's fair game. I mean, just a reminder to everybody here, but especially our new members, as appointed members of this committee, the way the commissioners view it is anything that we think is important is generally going to be important to the rest of the community. I mean, that's, but we have to also filter that to some degree, because there are some issues that are regional, national, you know, state issues that we can't really tackle. So what we do is, in these meetings, oftentimes we talk about, okay, in the best case scenario, what would we tackle? You know, what would we look at? And then we kind of filter it down, okay, what is achievable in a 12-month period or what have you. So does anyone have any ideas, topics, burning issues they want to bring up? Yeah?
Greenways?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. We've got John.
I'm here.
What else?
Shall
what
I
else
talk?
Do we need to do?
Shall I talk about Greenways?
Please.
I want you to introduce yourself to the new members.
Here.
Oh, sorry.
Please speak into the mic.
Speak right into the mic. My name is John Mitchell. I run all the regulatory departments for the county: planning, zoning, code enforcement, building inspections, transportation, health, and the other ones which I didn't mention. and I also build most of the, I'm responsible for the capital projects. I'll build them. I take credit for David Berry's good work when possible. And I also manage the recreation department. So greenways have fallen into my purview. We have we already have some greenway in Jackson Park, which is managed by the county, and we hook right up to the Okawaha Greenway, which is managed by the city, which goes north to their Berkeley Mills Park site. The commissioners directed staff to pursue a recreation master plan and a greenway master plan back during their budget process, which wrapped up in June. We have started that process last month with the recreation with the rec board, and this part's going to be a little complex, but broadly we are going to do the rec master plan in-house, and we're going to farm out a good portion of the greenway plan to an outside company. There will be a RFP that's developed with in concert with North Carolina Department of Transportation and the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the NCDOT, and the MPO. I'm not making all this up. TAC at the LOSRC. That's true.
I'll email you that later.
So,
a lot of acronyms.
The various organizations that control the money.
Yeah, we applied for. Come on, that's funny. No credit around here. So we applied for a grant from those organizations to use to do one of these studies. Long and short of it is the greenways are expensive. They cost about $1 million a mile. And you know what Everett Dirksen said? A million here, a million there.
Pretty soon it adds up to real money.
Pretty soon we're talking about real money. So.
That was back then.
A lake bed here and a lake bed there.
Yeah.
So there are some federal monies which can be secured for this, but in order to get that money, you've got to have a feasibility study. Mm-hmm. And that feasibility study has to be accompanied by an engineering study. And the commissioners have directed me to, well, they first asked that we get the money, and we did. I think Rachel had a hand in that. So now we're in the process of working through the RFP portion of this. That portion of the government is very slow. So we're in an active struggle with our friends in the state and federal bureaucracy. The next step, which will probably be in the interest of this board, is that we're going to develop kind of an ad hoc group of people to advise through the RFP process and kind of be the group of people which are helping to steer whatever, you know, the RFP process, the people we end up hiring, and what product we end up receiving from them. I could talk forever about greenways, greenway funding, you know, but I'll leave it at that. If anybody has any specific questions, I'd be pleased to answer those, or any questions at all about the rest of the things that we're doing.
Who's spearheading the recreational master plan, whatever you call it?
It would be me.
It's you. People actually doing the work?
No, I just steal their good work. Now, it's the planning staff, the folk that work in planning. So Autumn Radcliffe, the planning director, is and her staff are right. What they're doing right now is they're putting together a framework, which effectively is a table of contents.
But the REC advisory board
will be the steering.
Right. As far as like making recommendations as the plan is being developed. Which those are open meetings as well, so you all can be there with those.
We do have a double agent now.
Are you on the REC advisory board?
You got appointed on Tuesday.
I did. Is that true?
I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I was.
I don't know if that's true. I don't think it is.
You'll get a letter in the mail.
You may have to. He was there.
I was there, yeah. Your name was brought up by one of the commissioners, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, well, well. It looks like we're working on the plan.
So the answer is you.
That's right.
John, why did they decide to farm out the agreement
part of it? The answer to that question is twofold. First is that... I kind of hate to admit this in public, but I'm not really big on plans that go on shelves. I just, it turns my stomach, makes me upset. And I viewed the feasibility study as, I viewed the Greenway plan as a good opportunity to do a real feasibility study, which admittedly is just another plan that ends up on the shelf. But this, what I wanted them to do was to be the outside group that could go to property owners and say, hey, is this something that you're interested in doing? Because I know that the elected officials, I suspect that the elected officials are not going to have any stomach for trying to take people's property. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not in the way that I'm driving this forward, and it won't be in the way that they're driving forward. I'm telling people that having a Greenway go through your property might be probably the best thing that ever happened to you. I mean,
to your property value.
Right. There are in fact, if I were a less scrupulous man, I would go purchase a piece of property right now with the intent of having Greenway go through it, because you can put an ice cream stand there and print money. I mean, just print it. You know, you're going to save your family for the next 10 generations. But there are folk. This is.
Or you can get a sediment removal machine and collect money from the county.
Right. But there are folk who have other visions for their property, and I appreciate that. It's a great thing, private property rights. So what I want them to do is I want them to look at where greenways, you know, there have been ideas of greenways connecting, and I want them, we have to have an outside group, because I don't want people to think that John Mitchell's sitting up in the, you know, sitting up in a darkened room with designs on other people's property, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm telling them to tell people is that they're going to go visit, I actually haven't told anybody this, but what I'm going to tell them when we hire them, whoever they might be, is that I want you to say to these people, would you be agreeable to having a Greenway go through your property? And if the answer is no, that's fine. I mean, it's not actually a bad thing. The longer the Greenway, the better.
Well, assuming there is a route.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the purpose of the study.
Mm-hmm.
If the, you know, I would imagine they'd just go to property owners and say, hey, is this something that you're interested in? If they say no, they should take them off the list, you know. If they say yes, then fine, you know, they can come back to us with a study that says, well, it's feasible.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I'll take that back to the commissioners and say, here's the study. That study will go, will wrap into the master plan such as it is, and I actually hope to make that group make recommendations about how it can be paid for.
Isn't that a big part of the feasibility study and the engineering
right.
study to accompany it? Is zeroing in on the
that's
the
right.
number so
mm-hmm.
you can get the funding for feasibility?
We do. There are federal opportunities, 80-20 match money. But again, one of the things that I try to do is not get out in front of the commissioners or the county manager. I do.
That's a good idea.
That's the goal for any.
You're required to do it in your head, but not out loud.
That's right. I don't.
Yeah.
So my marching orders right now are to procure the feasibility study, which we're being as aggressive as we can be without upsetting people, and to move this study forward in a way that brings it to some fruition soon. And my definition of soon in that regard is probably spring of next year. just real short. Mm-hmm. But
so we can keep getting updates from John and his department on this, like we were doing last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, John.
I have one unrelated, sort of related. The last meeting, Todd Leone, the owner of the lake,
yes.
Osceola, made it an offer, and I was wondering what the outcome of that, of his presentation was.
My response, I would say that the commissioners, that we listened to the presentation, and the chairman said that he would get back to Mr. Leone.
So your staff has not been directed to?
We've not been directed in any fashion regarding that. I don't think that's abnormal. That was the very first time that the commissioners had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does the county own any lakes or other similar hazards, like a dam, anywhere else in the county?
Do you consider a greenway in a flood prone area a hazard?
No.
Don't answer that. No,
I guess who owns the dam that holds the water for the North Mills or whatever? Who owns that property?
The water system is the city of Hendersonville's.
Do they own the actual property up there?
Yep. That's a good question. Don't stump me there, you know. No, we don't own any other dams. All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to run out of here. Okay. Just need me.
Okay.
All right.
I'll say if you do get any direction from council or the commissioners to look into that, I know we wouldn't be privy to the information before you give it to them, but if we could have some sort of follow-up on whatever that the outcome of that is. Whether it's they declined it, I think it'd be nice to know like what their thinking was and saying no, or same way if they say yes.
What do you think?
I think it's always great to have additional public lands, especially in a quasi-urbanized area like that, but I'd be very hesitant to purchase a dam.
Yeah, I think you'd want an engineering study, a proper due diligence to know what you got.
Yeah, I would.
Especially that dam, it's been here a long time.
Supposedly. That's what Mr. Leone says.
And I took issue with I saw that he was put in a condition that it had to remain as a full pond.
Yeah. Like, what's that about?
Yeah. Why can't we have a mountain bog up there? Yeah.
Well, I'll let you know. If we receive direction, then I'm certainly have to share that with this group. But at this moment, it rests with the commissioners.
Can I get a 30-second update on extending the greenway through Jackson Park, a half mile or whatever? Did you ever find a plausible route?
We have a number of alignments. And we did not bring that alignment back to the commissioners per se, because it was our thought that we would wrap it up in this feasibility study. For the purpose, and the reason for that is that if you're going to spend money on something like that, then you might as well use that money to leverage federal dollars too.
Yeah.
Because it's an 80-20 match. So if their view was, you know, why it'd be a good thing to extend this, but let's get the feasibility study, because then whatever money we end up spending, we can leverage. It's also important to note the city owes us $170,000, which we intend to use to leverage additional funds, and that money will also be used to address
the flooded area.
The flooded area, which I'm sure you saw me on television talking about.
How about this TV?
Good. Hey.
What did you say?
They were going to fix the flooded part of
the people at the Recreation Department said it was the worst interview they'd ever seen. So but the reason for that is that some guy had whipped by me on a bicycle in the middle of the interview. So
it scared, he scared me.
He just right by me, you know. But he said it looked dour.
The guy on the bike?
No, the people in the bike. But I just told him what I told y'all, which is that...
Well, the flooding is not a big problem. It's the sediment, right? That's what the interview was about.
Yeah, but I mean, anytime it floods, you get sediment, right? I mean, yeah. It's farmland.
All right, John, you're that was like 2 minutes on that 30 seconds.
Thanks, man.
You just talk the whole time.
I'll give you the floor.
John,
that's
your show around here.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
Thanks,
good luck. Let me know.
Thank you, John.
All right. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have thoughts?
Kudzu. We do it in the village, Flat Rock Village. We've been doing it since 01.
What
removal? Not growing it. Yeah. Occasionally, it looks like we fertilized it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the village has a lot of experience with doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do it is to get property owners to sign an agreement that is a waiver against suing the village if there's any damage.
Hmm.
And it's a description of the chemicals that are being used. And so far, there isn't a single property owner that has said, no, I don't want to do that, except for one woman who thinks we killed the tree, which we didn't because it was going to kill anyway. But we have a lot of experience. We've got a licensed sprayer comes from South Carolina, and we know a little bit about the chemical battle. And we would be happy to share that. John Dockendorf knows everybody, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's our liaison with the council. And I said to him just this morning that I would speak about it today. The city could get on the bandwagon, the county. We fight it, and we will forever fight it because the county is not in the program.
Hmm.
It's right across the street from Flat Rock. So we're just in a loop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's it costs us, we spend about $4,000 a year on the sprayers. The rest of us are all volunteers. And it's kind of fun. You get to know parts of the area that you would not know otherwise. But there is always a lot of poison ivy where we go.
Of course.
But basically, we hire the sprayers. We have done a digging program that we want to do more of.
What's the digging do?
Get out the crown,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't have it there.
Yeah. What's a crown?
Look, the root ball.
Kudzu is a giant sweet potato, basically, that can be 9 feet deep. According to the internet, yeah, it's huge.
Oh,
and it can lie dormant for 10 years when you think it's gone. Because if it's stressed, it'll go dormant, and then when you're not watching, it'll sprout it. And it's eating south, as you know.
Hmm.
It's god awful around the
yeah.
And Crooked Creek Golf Course is a good example. Greenville Highway is a good example.
Sure.
Once you get out of the village.
Yeah.
So the village is not just managing on their property. They have sprayed
the entire area of Flat Rock.
Wow.
And the worst properties are where the homeowners have decided to log. Because it just opens it up in the sun and
yeah.
the cousin goes wild.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, we kind of wanted to spray to London anyway, but
mm-hmm.
it's not a choice. The village has no jurisdiction over it. It's the state.
Of course, yeah.
So, but there are ways to control it. We will never really eradicate it. But if there were more programs in place, we'd have a better shot.
That's true.
What's this for?
It's called Transline, and it's legume specific. It attacks your sweet potato field if you.
Yeah.
I mean, you just wouldn't want to spray it. Your buddy's
okay.
garden. You don't want to spray a garden. You don't want to spray even a flower garden.
Right.
You have to spray the kudzu.
You spray the kudzu. And if it's a vine this big around, you cut it, and you take it to the village council members and show them what we're up against, and they go, yes, we'll continue the program. I mean, the vines get huge. And
yeah.
The bigger the vine, the bigger the crown.
They've got an incredible man's unit, Joan Saluto.
Yeah.
They lost their grant, though. They,
and
the,
no,
the Godzilla?
That's
Spartanburg.
Yeah, the one I saw was in
Saluda.
Well,
between Saluda and Tryon and 176, they've been spraying a lot.
So where does the funding come from?
Well, Saluda got a grant to do their country eradication. Mm-hmm. And they borrowed Godzilla from I think, from Spartanburg, which just goes in like that. It's a front loader that's been modified, and it goes in.
No, this is what I'm talking about. It looks like, you'd think it was a big root.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, but it's kudzu. It's almost artistic.
So oh, I thought you meant a machine.
No.
Oh, the actual.
Yeah, but it's really almost like modern art until you find out that's kudzu. Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about kudzu is that it, I don't know if you use the root or the leaves or what, but it treats alcoholism. How it does it, I do not know. I haven't researched it. But if we could just convince people that there's...
I checked notes before we started saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. But, and people make baskets out of the vines, and they make jelly out of them.
You can fry
the leaves.
You just can't eat a basket.
It's like camp.
Yeah.
I motion to table any more kudzu discussion for an actual... time to discuss kudzu.
Yeah. Good idea. Thanks, Liz.
That is a good topic.
Question. I live in the city, and I know that we have spraying that occurs periodically for mosquitoes,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen minimal impacts, like depending on the time of year, but I didn't realize the county where my parents live has the opportunity for that? Is that if people request it?
Yeah.
Is there awareness for that? Because I don't think my parents have ever
heard of it. A lot of it's word of mouth. I didn't know about it until somebody else.
I didn't know about it until now.
Yeah.
No, it's through Environmental Health, the Environmental Health Division, and it's on their website. And I know that they do hang a banner outside of the historic courthouse in a lot of the summertime that says, let them bug you or some pun about it with a phone number. But a lot of it, I think, is word of mouth.
Is there any merit to some sort of campaign for awareness with an educational component of, like, what increases mosquito activity?
Could be.
I don't know. I can write it down, and we can. I'd have to talk with Seth Swift at Environmental Health and kind of see, what their budget is for it and how they try and get the word and stuff out for it. Just because they're limited to a number of people that are certified to spray.
Okay.
So. We wouldn't want to overwhelm.
With all these phone calls to come. I was wondering if that aspect of it.
But we could find out about the impact of it. I mean.
My understanding is it's not a very big program.
I don't think
it is. It's primarily, I could be wrong about this, but I've seen Seth, I've heard Seth talk about it two or three times in the classes. I think that it's mostly to deal with things like encephalitis and things like that. It's not necessarily.
Okay.
I could be wrong. And that's why Environmental Health does it. But. I may be off base there. You have to ask to make sure, but I know that there are, so...
They might not appreciate it.
Zika and all that.
I probably like to curb the mosquito virus.
I think that's the primary focus.
Probably.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to write it down?
Sure, we can get more information on it.
Okay.
Sometimes we find we get into these things and we just become advocates for things the county already has. You know what I mean? Or the other side of that coin is community organizations. You know, someone might say, hey, what about this? And you say, well, actually, there's a nonprofit that does that. Call them. You know what I mean? Because a lot of it, awareness is the most challenging aspect.
Education is outstanding water.
Yeah.
Newspaper
articles.
Anybody else got some ideas, thoughts?
Can I bring up something?
Sure.
Litter is such a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Yeah. Are you guys working on anything around that at
the
ESB?
The city has adopted a young girl from high school, actually brought a program going, and it's like Adopt a Highway,
mm-hmm.
but it's Adopt a Street or something in the city. But as I drive around, it's just disgraceful. And a woman that I just met recently moved here from Ohio, and she said she could not, she brought it up, that she couldn't believe how dirty it is here. Hmm. And I have to agree.
Yeah.
Some of the roads are just horrible.
Yeah, I think that kind of ties in a fair amount with the blue ways we've talked about before, you know, where does stormwater take things, and a lot of it's litter that gets taken into places like Mud Creek and waterways along the Okalawa and places like that.
That's also one of the reasons we have the rule, if you're coming to solid waste, about having your load secured, mm-hmm. or because it's actually a state rule and a county ordinance to cut down on litter.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just people throwing. A friend of mine lives off Mountain Road, and people litter all the time at the back of his property. And he was out there one day cleaning it up. The guy went by in a truck and said, here's another one, and threw him a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And kept going.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
the
mentality of what people think is okay.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So is there a way to educate? Or I know there's Dr. Highway, but they're not everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really challenging issue. There was one property that we have at CMLC. It's in Hickory Nut Gorge, Conserving Carolina. And they tried to beautify it, put do not litter signs.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the way they got people to stop littering out there is they put signs to honor local firefighters. And then it was kind of disgracing a monument to our local service members. But I think it's a really challenging thing because we tried all kinds of stuff. We tried flowers. We tried, you know, fencing. People were just dumping trash out of the back of a pickup in this area. So.
And my church cleans and does Dr. Highway up near Sierra Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And we find diapers there and everything.
Of course.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever done a river cleanup before?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what's in a river. I mean,
I know.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, that's...
Well, it could be that we can piggyback on the program you just mentioned at the city.
Yeah, because
that looks like
work
a bigger campaign.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just...
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware of the trash trout?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because that's amazing how
it
much
is.
Garbage that's picking up.
Yeah. You've seen it, haven't you, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
There's numerous bottle swirling eddies along Mud Creek that just have... I know we're like three different pockets are, where there's just like this big swirling eddy, and it's always full of basketballs and Coke bottles. And
I know, with everything. It's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be trees down, and like if you're paddling, you got to go up and over the tree, but you're going to go real fast because if you stop right upstream of it, you're like in this cesspool of just bottles and clothes.
Yeah,
and
so big sweep this Saturday.
There you go.
Big
sweep
this Saturday if you want to sign up.
This Saturday, right?
You can go to Asheville Green Works website. They'll be working a lot of sections in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So I have greenways, kudzu removal, mosquito spray program, litter control / campaign.
I like the kudzu. I like the invasive in general. is a good program.
There certainly are enough invasives.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Helianthus, the tree of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Japanese knotweed.
Yeah,
invasives in general.
We never did get to energy last year. We talked about it.
Right.
We talked about it, and then we just ran out of time because there were other things that came up.
Right.
And the other big item that will be part of this year, which is later on in our agenda, but is Beast City.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to definitely be, if everything goes as planned and it is approved for us to actually become certified, then that's going to be a huge portion of what your spring kind of looks like. But we'll have to just see how that
goes. So you're going to be in Beast County?
Well, we have to apply and do all
good,
that.
Good, okay. Is there a D County?
There's not.
No,
there's not.
The first one.
Yeah, so that's why we got to, there's a lot of infrastructure that Apple's going to put in. So that's why I'm saying if that actually goes through.
Yeah.
But we'll know all that by December. I'm going to have it done.
Well, I know you brought up greenways, but honestly, I'm not sure that there's much we can do. I think it's done.
I think keeping pace with whatever's developing with the rec board and coming out of these master plans and just looking over those and maybe making some recommendations or observations, I think that's going to be a good thing. And then, because I don't know, we don't know anything specific enough that you can say these are the things that the EAC is for or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I have to wait to see what develops.
Yeah.
I agree.
But it sounds like it's moving a little faster. I'm thinking it's years and years out. If he's really talking about something by spring, I think that's remarkably fast.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this money thing came up really quickly, and we had to move really fast. So luckily, we were successful in getting approval to do that. So.
Are there any recycling programs or anything like that, Rachel, that you've seen that we could be a community for, but we're just not sure what the
things
we could look into that help on your list of things to do?
Yeah, definitely. Jerry and I have been talking about textile recycling, which was one thing I was going to be putting in this past spring, and the vendors that I was going to use just completely fell through. So textile recycling would be a super easy, as long as we can make a few cents on the pound, but it's an easy collection option at the convenience center. That would be a simple thing, but getting in contact with the vendors in North Carolina who would be able to service our area, which is one of the problems that I was running into. So a lot of those are concentrated in the central part of the state. People don't want to make the run all the way out here.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be here, South Carolina, Tennessee. We could look at vendors there. So textile recycling is one. We'd really like to move this food waste conversation forward some more. So, even having some community discussions or forums or just open times where we can all just kind of talk about it or something. I think that would be good. We learned recently about maybe an opportunity for carpet recycling. Was it carpet? I think it was carpet recycling. So that might be something we look into that would require a little bit more research just about, there's really only a couple vendors that do it because it's kind of a gross thing to deal with. I'm really going to try and refocus on the education and outreach portion of all of our recycling because our messaging is getting lost. So that would obviously be something I could really get your help on.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially, getting your input on. Maybe bringing some stuff to you as kind of a sounding board and helping me kind of, because I'm talking about it all the time, so the language that I use is going to be different from what you know and understand.
Right.
But those are a couple different things.
It seems like teaming up with the schools gets the word to parents.
Sure.
In a friendly manner.
Yeah. And I mean, I go into the schools when I'm invited to go into the schools, but other than that, there's really no outlet for me to be doing outreach at the schools.
But like an art project.
Yeah.
That involves
drawing
trash.
About that. Yeah.
And saying this is good, this is bad.
Yeah, well, Matt and Drew right now is just working on one that we came up with, was for markers. It was for Crayola. And we're working on with the schools, and they're going to collect markers, all kinds, all brands, and they're going to recycle them. They actually send you postage paid, everything. All you have to do is send them in.
I think Atkins is.
Yeah.
So we just started it.
Mm-hmm.
Now Canadian's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, there's someone.
And I would love to see the city work, too, on recycling education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to be done. There's a lot of work to do. Anyway.
Anything else? Any other ideas?
I don't want to talk about it, but I would like to just tack on my personal interests that are aligned with things in this group I have a say in, and that is in regards to land management towards water quality. Mm-hmm. So the county owns a lot of property, and a lot of rainwater falls on it, and it may or may not be managed at an optimal level for the water quality that leaves its site. In addition to the never-ending capital projects that are always being designed and constructed and paid for by the county, mm-hmm. there's rules and regulations that everyone has to follow for development.
Right.
But there are things, particularly in parks, that could be implemented over spend a bunch of money to make some sort of water quality feature, or have ideas incorporated into long-term plans and goals so that the land is managed in such a way that it improves as opposed to degrades the water quality in the county. That is one thing to follow the rules and regulations, but you can make a storage unit site development follow the rules, and then you can make a park follow the same rules, but the runoff from those sites is going to be completely different. So it's like the larger picture of how you're managing and what you're putting on the land, which is what I think that we could have some input into.
Offers?
I don't know. There's all kinds of examples, and that's the thing. Like any plot of land is going to be different. I think one really good kind of anecdotal situation is the Jackson Park area, a really big park with a lot of consistently flooded land in an urban environment. There's all kinds of just areas like that are swampy, and there's culverts and all these situations that are ripe for stormwater retrofits or just being managed in a way that can embrace the ecology of the little zones there, as opposed to just being, you know, a stormwater conveyance feature.
Yeah, sounds similar to what we heard from Missouri Partnership. You know, they're working with the farmers to make sure that we're walking a line between good for farming but good for the environment, kind of like best management practices.
And particularly if they were going to purchase this big plot of what may or may not be a lake, and then how you manage that big thing. It is a creek. It's a lake. It's a water body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good list for us.
Mm-hmm. We do. And some of these things, like, we had Seth Swift come last year. Did he talk about the mosquito program? I don't think he did.
I think that was the year before when we were working on Greenways. That was right before we wrote the letter of support to.
Who's Seth Swift?
He's the director of environmental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hit on the septic and the well program.
He did, and that was about the same time we had Steve came from Board of Health, or Department of Health, and Chris Burns, friend of Acusta.
So we could knock this one out and invite him to come and talk about the mosquito program at the next meeting if you wanted to do that, or I can just get information in the meantime and send it to you. What would you?
Well, along those lines, we've dropped back to our quarterly meeting, so that means we need to be more expeditious with our topics, and, you know, so if you guys are okay, maybe Rachel can send us a little information,
okay.
We can take a look at it, and if we need to take a deeper dive, we can.
Okay.
How do you want to filter down that list that we've got there? Is there anything that just jumps off the table that everybody says, man, I've been thinking about that too, you know, that keeps me awake at night, you know, is there anything in there that's like...
Well, the invasives and the kudzu jumps out at me.
Yeah, that's something we might be able to do something.
Yeah, if it helps at all, I'm on the Parks and Greenways board of Law Park, and we're working on the same thing around kudzu. And it's a mixed bag. We're basically looking at how do we enforce it, not having invasives on town-owned lands, and then put out educational programs for property owners, because we don't want to go in and say, hey, Ryan, you can't have that here. But if you so choose, here's a way to mitigate that English ivy or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think if Flat Rock's working on it, Henderson County's working on it, we can...
And one of the things that I hope to achieve if we do the Beast City route is that anytime we do an RFP or our service agreements with folks to do maintenance and landscaping and management on any of our county-owned properties, that we preserve and plant native species that are supposed to be there, and then take out the stuff that isn't supposed to be, that's interfering with pollinator habitat. So that would be another piece of the land management perspective later on. But as far as the eradication, that's a whole different...
Yeah. Is there any kind of policy out there, to your knowledge? Like
at the county?
Yeah. I mean, do we have anything that says...
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
As far as what plants to use?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where that would land.
The city has that.
Yeah.
The city has a fantastic guide on planting.
Right.
And they also have the tree board, too.
And they have the tree board.
Great help.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So it could be that this is part of a bigger education campaign that all these different groups sign on to, based on, you know, recommendations maybe culled together from all the groups or something like that. So
yeah.
So are we feeling pretty good about that one? Invasive removal? Outreach, education?
Yes.
We can form it later.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just put a box around it. And it sounds like I'm going to get some information on that one. It sounds like we can just keep the Greenways discussion open and have John or any of his staff continue to come and give us updates. Does that sound pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just put planning right here so I know. Okay.
Do you think is there any crossover between litter control and land management? I mean, is there any parallels in that? We could kind of look at it together. From a research perspective, what were you thinking, Phil? Were you thinking like trying to incorporate best management practices in the county, or
I'm really not good at the in between, the 60,000 to 5,000 foot views.
So, kind of what I'm envisioning from what you were talking about when you described this is a lot of what Natalie Barriers over in the erosion and sediment control.
And stormwater.
And stormwater. So when people come to get a permit for construction, now this doesn't have anything to do with existing, but you're talking about county properties.
Everything.
You still have to get permitted, but.
I was mainly talking about county properties because otherwise it would be a zoning issue, like having like a more strict stormwater regulation, which
we can't do.
Isn't something that we want.
Well, we can't. We're not allowed to.
It's something that we want. The lobbying for that isn't something that I think would be.
But we can't have any stricter rules at county or city levels than what's at the state level. That's how we're set up in North Carolina because we're a rural state. But yeah, I mean, this could be. I don't know if it'd be an ordinance level or if it's like internal policy where when we are doing construction on one of our own properties, you know, that it comes up to this best level, best management practice level or something like that.
So just to fall into the one of the 5,000 foot categories that fit in there, if the county is building a new school and they are meeting with an architect to design the site, depending on that, how that conversation goes, it can go one of two ways. Either of those two ways, it's going to meet the stormwater regulations. Like that's a requirement. However, it can be handled in like a low-impact development approach, or it can be handled in the
put all the stormwater underground in these big chambers and have everything impervious and, like, just maximizing the, like, utility of the built-upon area.
Right.
So it's just kind of like us having a say and say, well, we would kind of prefer the LID approach to where not all the water is put underground into these big chambers. And mm-hmm. if you have some aesthetic rain garden areas, bioretention facilities, as opposed to other methods
so
of achieving the regulations.
I think what he's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what he's saying is that, so on the county-owned properties, rather than doing any kind of ordinance or anything like this, internal guidance so that mm-hmm. the county sort of sets an example on their properties that they already own?
Yeah, but it's not even an example. It's like it's a development project, and you're telling like the architect's going to build you a school, and it's going to be, to have it be built, it's going to meet all the regulations. But it can be pretty or it can be ugly. It can mm-hmm. be environmentally friendly or it can just mm-hmm. barely meet the regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about going above and beyond. It's like, what approach? Like, what is it going to look like when it's
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, you can either put in storm shelters underground and cover the entire thing with parking lot, like what's going on in the town.
Yeah,
Publix. Or you can put in rain gardens and things like what's in it. So I guess you're saying offering guidance for
Yes.
that approach versus they both need technically they both need stormwater
right.
regulation.
So there's a conventional approach and there's a low impact one.
Yeah.
So
there's that, there's like the guidance for capital projects and then there's
right.
also the like long term thinking for the water resources that are county owned.
Right.
And not just if they own a lake, also there's all these ditches that just have water in them and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which
wouldn't have mosquitoes in them if they were managed like with ecology. If they
right.
had you know, salamanders and frogs and
so a lot of what you're talking about is green infrastructure, too.
Yes.
So one thing that comes to mind, thanks, Dan, is that.
How did I do that? I was trying to slip out quietly.
Oh.
Good job.
Thanks for coming. One thing that comes to mind is that we could have both our county engineer. And our construction manager, David Berry, kind of address the current process and ask them these questions and kind of see if maybe some internal guidance could fit into that process. They're going to be the two people that are going to be directed to really be in charge of these construction and capital project studies and engineering studies where they're the ones having discussions with the architects and all those people.
Yeah.
I mean, those would be the two best.
What I would not want is Natalie Berry to come back in here and just read the ordinance to us again.
Well, no, I'm not even suggesting I mean, we've had Natalie come and we know, like, kind of the scope of where she is with what she's required to do as the stormwater officer, but also the erosion and sediment control person. But I'm talking about on the other end where anytime there's some kind of capital project that's already approved in the budget or that the commissioners are saying, mm-hmm. we're doing this, you know, David and Marcus can at least give us, this is the process we go through to start talking about construction or whatever, so that those items you're speaking of are incorporated into the design from the get-go, which is something I'd like to do with energy efficiency, which we try to do as much as we can. But
much like that.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm talking
right.
about.
Long-term thinking.
Right. It's the long-term yeah. planning and the, right.
It's the.
So if you'd like to do that, I mean, I think that would be the most appropriate place to start to make
that
sure we
make sense. Sorry,
have all the information
yeah.
and then have this conversation with them and say, do you think it would be appropriate for this group to come up with some internal guidance or at least some, just offer some best management practices that if we wanted to turn that into something a little deeper, we could
yeah.
by seeing what other communities, there's plenty of this out there.
Yeah.
Like we're not going to
yeah.
have to look very far.
Examples, sharing examples.
Are you Mike? My cousin's got
I was going to say, I think he's working on the same thing at the city level.
The what? Oh.
Oh,
my
no,
Kaufman.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
All kinds of
mm-hmm. But there's millions of examples mm-hmm. of these kinds of best management practice. So we're going to circle this one, and I will...
They call them stormwater control measures.
Stormwater control measures. Pardon me. Better get with
Mike
that.
Did an excellent presentation in my class last week. That's the only reason.
Well, we can have Mike come.
Because he said.
I mean, Mike.
He said they don't.
Does this for the city.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That.
Better come up with an acronym
so
I can't use.
It's going to be a new acronym. SEMs. They're now SEMs.
I don't like that as much.
No.
I don't either. I like BMP. Anyway.
An SEM is a BMP.
I know. Just, yeah. So does that feel like a good route to go with that one?
Yeah. But I like. Yeah.
So yes. Mike, Marcus, and David.
And we don't have to have Mike come and do. I mean, that was just—I just know he has examples.
It sounds like
he did a very good presentation.
Right, and it sounds like having the informational background before we make any recommendations or questions to Marcus and David would be.
Yeah.
And Mike is.
Let me say back what I think you said to me. Summarize it in my dim-witted way. Marcus and David primarily. Talk to us about what that initial design meeting, like the whole design intent that they give over to an architect, mm-hmm. to the engineer that does the work for them, what that looks like and who's setting those guidelines, those constraints that they're giving the professionals that are before, because it's not a construction process, it's the what are we going to put here process.
That's where I see it.
It's the vision for the final product.
Because, I mean, even, like, with our new emergency services headquarters that's going in at Balfour, mm-hmm. across from Hunter Volvo on 25, they've already got all the plan. I mean, they've already got all that in. I was brought in to help put the energy people, like the Duke Energy people, together with our construction people to make sure we know what kind of lighting levels and, you know, all this kind of stuff we need.
Yeah,
but
once
that
you're that far in, there's no
way
to change anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everything else is already spec'd out for internally.
You've
this
already
is
paid
just
for all
lighting
the work.
The driveway. Yeah. So it's the very, very, very beginning of the process.
Yes.
Okay.
I need if the county had some guidelines.
That could be a great outcome.
In addition
for
yeah,
ordinance.
It really would.
Is if we, as a committee, mm-hmm. could create a set of guidelines that the commissioners could look at and provide comments or even approve and have
and if they're super low cost mm-hmm. guidelines, that would be even more attractive.
Mm.
Yeah.
You have to think long term and you've got to reduce the cost.
That's the thing. They're free.
Right. It's just a different way of thinking about it.
Yes.
Okay. Jerry, the young lady that's working on your loader program at the city, is she a senior this year?
No, I think she graduated last year.
So is she going to keep doing the program?
Well, the city is doing it.
The city took it over.
But there's not really much publicity about it.
Okay.
And I guess I walk a dog that I take care of a couple times a week on Broadway, right near Laurel Park. You wouldn't believe the dirt on this road. I mean, there is so much litter on it. Every time I walk down there, I pick these lawns, and they don't even take it off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how can you do this? But even different roads, particularly around here, are bad. Not every place, but some.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out how to address it from like a programmatic standpoint so that there's you can have an impact. So DOT has a highway beautification program,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you get to become an adopt a street or adopt a highway or adopt mm-hmm. a road group.
What's the problem that a lot of towns have?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure how other towns have tackled it.
Well, we can also look at examples from other communities, and we can just start brainstorming on how other groups tackle litter control, and then...
I think, back down to a 5,000-foot view for, like, actual kind of goals or tasks to do in relation to that, you're talking about trying to... So it's social engineering. It's like, how do we get people to stop doing something?
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that any sort of regulatory framework is kind of a non-starter, unless we're looking at, you know, on a 10-year time frame. So I would suggest that someone or a couple people take on a little research project about what other communities have done, like you're saying, but specifically in that social engineering science realm. I've listened to numerous podcasts and read other articles talking about nudge units in governments that have figured out ways to make people pay their taxes better, or all kinds of things that are that help with these problems that are nuisance to the commons.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be a person to volunteer for that research project, but I I am. It does pique my interest, so maybe I can help. But I think coming up with like some concrete strategies about how to of social engineering for that stuff.
Maybe you can send the podcast link to the group that researches it.
I can't remember. It's in my like.
Yeah.
Lady Bird Johnson. Yeah, cleaned up Texas in a heartbeat. But she was a spokeswoman, right? And she was out there talking about it all the time. And Texas got cleaned up. I don't know how it looks now. Of course, now it's a mess.
Now it looks
right. Yeah.
Well,
but because there was this personality behind it.
What I'm talking about is the exact opposite of having a personality in your face saying don't litter. It's like the little nudges of things. Like South Carolina they had billboards saying something like something about that, like gives you a sense of pride in your state and makes you not want to throw your dog back out.
Have pride, don't litter.
Yeah, something like that.
What is it?
And I remember hearing like my redneck buddies in high school like repeating that phrase. And I remember even as a little kid thinking like, oh, that sign worked on you. But this is like
every fast food outlet have reminders, don't litter. And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And North Carolina does have a program on littering, because at one time I did a lot of research into littering, and there's a lot of programs on beautification, but North Carolina has its own program.
Hmm.
That nobody knows about. No.
So that could be.
I can't remember what the podcast was, but I can remember one of the things that they did to increase the taxes that were paid to, I don't know if it was London or just the federal bureaucracy of Great Britain. They sent out letters telling to everyone, saying how much, something to do with what their neighbors were doing and what percentage of people were paying their taxes.
Oh.
And like there was a direct effect from just everyone knowing that their neighbors were paying, and that if they didn't, it was like little things like that.
It's like I got my tax bill, and it's like, if you don't pay, you'll be in the newspaper.
But it's not even a threat. It's like appealing to that individual sense of, like, I'm not a bad person.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not one of those 3% that doesn't pay.
I see. Yeah.
We're in that 3% of litterers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'd envision the deliverable from that research project being, like, a suite of ideas like that.
So who wants...
We don't have to assign that now.
I like how you preface that with, I'm not going to do it.
But you might help.
That's great.
Yes. I think Jan would be.
Oh,
now
of course.
That she's gone.
Yeah.
We could do the team of Jan and Anne.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's poor.
Good thing they never listened.
Best incentive to come to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Best incentive.
Well, I mean, the other thing you could do is, we could kind of do this in sequence, since this is going to be sent out in email, because you won't meet again December. You won't meet again until December. So there's a whole lot that can happen between now and then.
Of course.
I think this needs to be an in-person presentation.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like it's going to take some doing to pull multiple people together from lots of different jurisdictions and entities. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of an ongoing thing, and it sounds like we won't know more about this till spring anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess this could be kind of, unless you wanted to have another joint meeting with the city, ESB, at some point, and tackle this a little bit better.
Yeah,
but it would take some research beforehand
mm-hmm.
so that we could go in, like you're saying, and have a goal for the whatever the outcome's going to be. I mean, honestly, I think knowing what we know about how this has gone year after year doing this process, we usually get pretty looped into one of these in a lot of detail once we start getting information from people. So it could be that these folks come present and everyone's going, yeah, I really want to do this.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's a need for it. So
it's true.
Not that this isn't important, obviously, but
yeah.
These are two really big items that are going to be.
I know. Let's assign it to the city.
I've already tried that.
Y'all can start a nudge unit.
Yeah, I want to do some research on that.
That's
interesting.
So if we can kind of prioritize these a little bit. So you said kudzu, Liz, is twice a year. Is that right? The kudzu removal?
No, we only do it now because it's blooming and it's taking all the chemicals back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's going to have potential budget implications, let's say it's $4,000. It's a good round number.
You could start there.
Yeah, right. So then we need to be on that probably beginning of the new calendar year, because budget starts in February. So we could effectively start that in the spring.
No, we actually start talking about the budget in December.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. So we have to have our budgets turned in by.
Oh, okay. So
March.
We need to.
Well, December would be on the docket for that, is what y'all would want to plan for.
Well, I'll take up the getting in touch with Dockendorf and seeing who his circle and providing whatever they need, because John doesn't know much about our spring program.
You also don't have to meet quarterly if things are coming up. Like, if you want to meet again, you know. Because remember, we haven't met in December for a while because the weather always gets really bad. And if we miss our December meeting and don't meet again until January or February, you know, we're missing 6 months of discussion at the time.
We can do some work remotely. And the court.
Yeah, we've just got to stay, there's a certain number of us. If we get together, it's a public meeting, right?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, if y'all meet outside of this, I think it is four. I think it's, well, whatever the majority is, because we
five.
Have eight, so it's five.
Is it different than a quorum? If you have less than a quorum, is it still a public meeting?
Something like that. No.
I think it's less than a quorum. It's
is it? I'll have to check with our attorney. I'm not sure. But then that would mean I have to advertise where you're going, what time, so that everybody knows.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We could kind of pair it off, though, and say, like, okay, this many people are working on kudzu, this many people are working on the land management. And then we come back in December and say, okay, here's what we found, plan next steps, and go from there.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see how it works quarterly.
Yeah.
It should work fun.
I think so.
Yeah. I think if we keep topics moving, before we had quarterly meetings and there was, like, no discussion in between, it was like, okay, what did we talk about last time?
Mm-hmm.
Spend time rehashing everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we can communicate email and little groups, I think that would work well. Have to make sure Ann and Jan understand where they're at or what we're trying to pull off.
Yeah. Okay, so it sounds like a couple people are going to take this one to find some guidances from other cities, right? And then some people are going to take this one to just talk with the local folks who are doing it and bring it all back together in December. So does anybody want to volunteer for this?
I'm all there for the land management and water quality issues.
I'll do that one too.
Okay.
I like
that. Yeah, so, and then so me and Chris will just have something to present in December. Is that right?
Yeah, yes. Or if you want to send it. Send it before, maybe in like November, so that everybody can review it. So that way, when we have Mike and Marcus and David, if they can all come in December, we've already got questions and things prepared. Mm-hmm. Or
would it behoove us to for us to talk to Mike and Mark and David and find out whatever the information, general information is, rather than having all of them come and do a presentation and eat up the whole meeting, since we're only meeting quarterly?
I'm sure we could do that too.
The other problem we've had when someone comes is it's open season on that person for questions, which can be bad.
Okay.
How could it be bad?
Come on.
That's true.
We get off topic because we're trying to, like, you know.
We get off topic.
Wait, bad because it takes a long time?
Well, yeah, because we before we've said, okay, hey, you know, Seth, come, you've got 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and he's here for 30 minutes.
Oh, I thought you meant bad because, like, Natalie doesn't want to answer the question.
No.
If we give all these guys all this time, which is great. I mean, I'd love to, but, I mean, that's going to eat up most of the meeting is what I'm thinking.
Sure, we can do that.
And I think Philip and I can probably come up with most of the applicable questions, and then we can ask additional.
Okay, so I will work on getting us all together to do that then.
And then we can refine, like, whatever the scope of that item is.
Okay.
So we can go to them with, like, a direct topic.
Okay.
I like it.
Good idea. Okay, Liz, I'm guessing you might want to do this one.
I might. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Anybody else?
Nope, I'll work on kudzu.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Cool, thanks. It's fun.
Yeah, great.
I don't think I heard Philly say it.
She's like, I'm new. Wait a minute.
Well, about the letter, so that's the other one we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean,
like, if you want, and I know you'd mentioned the educational component, like, right. Getting into the schools. One of the school board chairs, Amy Lynn Holt, is the room mother in my daughter's classroom, so I could talk with her about looking into a letter educational with schools, or just starting at that point if you want.
I think it's worth,
because you said getting in the classrooms is kind of, or getting into the schools.
Speaking of the school system, do we have any like PhD psychologists on the payroll for Henderson County that could that could present us the state of the art on governments, municipalities nudging citizens to do this or that?
Sounds like the subject matter expert.
Okay, I have no clue where to even start with that. I mean, I really have no idea.
The words that came out of my mouth were
made sense.
I understand who you're looking for. I don't know that person.
I know some PhDs.
I don't think we have a lot of PhD folks working. Maybe we do, and I just don't know.
In the school system, yeah, you do.
All in the school system. Sure.
Yeah, which are paid through the county.
Sure, yeah. But I don't know those people. But we'll start here. See where we can go from there.
I have a school psychologist with a master's degree, but not PhD. Well, that's a friend of mine, and one of the schools.
Oh, not you. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, but no. Counseling degree, not PhD or master's.
So then you'll just kind of see what you can come up with, and you can even email your results to me, and I'll make sure.
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay, and then I'm just going to find out about that. So I think we've got a plan.
We do.
So that's Ryan and I will put it all back together in summary. Send it all back out.
That's good.
Okay, good work.
And Kelly, nicely done.
Chris, I gotta run, but we can pop back.
Yeah. And if you just Google, I think it's North Carolina Leader Program.
Okay, I gotta get it to you.
So your next meeting is supposed to be December 7th. That's the first Thursday.
What I have to do is drive them around and see.
Is it Pearl Harbor?
It is.
I will try to be in the country.
I don't notice a lot.
Yeah, I'm on the Main Street.
Okay, so adjourned.
I put you down already, don't worry.
Next Thursday.
The sidewalk?
Yes, 9:30.